My name's Adele Onyango, and welcome to another episode of Legally Clueless. No, seriously, I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. Hey you, welcome to episode 132 of Legally Clueless. Thank you for rocking with this podcast. Remember, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, our audio episodes go out every single Monday, and we have season one of our video series out on our YouTube channel. That's linked in the show notes. And you can join our online space, our online community on Instagram. We're at Legally Clueless Podcast. On Twitter, just use the hashtag Legally Clueless. Speaking of our video series, oh my goodness, I'm really enjoying sharing the tour episodes because then you get to be on the journey with us as we weaved through Nairobi, Nakuru, Mombasa, Kisumu. So the Nakuru episode went out a few days ago on Friday. I don't know when you're listening to this, but it went out on Friday. And like, I was watching it and I'm just like, oh my God, it's so amazing. And it featured some powerful stories. And also, we got to do one thing that I'm really interested in, like going to museum or historical places and just learning the history of things. So we went to a really famous castle that is the holder of one of the most bizarre love stories. That's all I'm gonna tell you. Check out our YouTube channel. You'll find all the episodes of the tour series. Our final episode, yani the Kisumu episode, goes out on Friday the 24th. So like, subscribe, turn on notifications so you don't miss out on it. However, away from those episodes, let's get back to this one. Here is a story we recorded in Kisumu that's coming up a little later in this episode.
Actually, I wrote Mwa Kenya that morning, just before the exam, I think like 10 minutes or 30 minutes. I have never used Mwa Kenya before. So when the schools opened, they sent me a message that I'm supposed to go for a panel. I went to the panel. There were a lot of people with the different cases. And I felt like mine was actually minimal because I was caught on my first semester, first year. And then there's this girl who was also like me. She was caught with the Mwa Kenya. And she was like pleading. Everyone was like, they'll give you a suspension. Yeah, this is something that is easy. They'll just give you a suspension. I went to pick the letter. I just had to open it at the gate. I wanted to see, have they given me a chance or they have given me a suspension. Kufungua letter, expulsion.
That is a very interesting story. By Rispa, we recorded it in Kisumu during the tour. It's going to be coming up a little later in the episode. Once again, sending grace and peace your way because Lord knows, in this pandemonium, we really need it. In fact, speaking of peace, I'm recording this on Saturday night instead of my usual Sundays because tomorrow I'm going to Diani. So if you have no idea where that is, it is along the coast in Kenya and it's got, I mean, I haven't seen all the beaches in the world, but Diani's beach is spectacular. So I'm just going to, I want to say rest, but I'm still going to be working. But it's really just a time out for Fala and I just to reconnect, get away from our regular schedules a bit. And I'm hoping to do a lot of writing while there. Fingers crossed that I don't end up going there and then writer's block just does its thing, you know? Really excited to be going there because Diani is one of my favorite places. In fact, I'm currently hunting for 90 million shillings because my dream house in Diani is worth that much. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we are allowed to dream. But yeah, Diani is beautiful. So I'm going tomorrow and I'm really excited about it. So before we jump into the song of the week, I want to give you an update as well on two things that I'm doing. I'm not sure if I've probably spoken about one in the last couple of episodes, but it's two things I'm learning. So I have told you about aerial hoops, which is, in case you do not know, it's this hoop that is suspended in the air from the ceiling, connected by chains. And you literally are using your body weight to kind of like learn different poses and things like that. And I'm really enjoying it. Is it hell on my body? Sometimes it is because some of the exercises are vigorous and when you're using your body as the weight, it's just intense. There's some poses where like your core is doing all the work. So yeah, it can be intense, but I can't explain it to you. I think it just feels so good. It must be because I'm just in a space where I'm honoring and appreciating my body. And these are just kind of like small steps I'm doing to that. So even when the pain is there, I know it's there for a good reason. Like something good is happening and something that you're enjoying, and that's healthy for your body. So there's that. But I also started drumming lessons. I'm not sure if I shared that with you. I've wanted to do them for 10 years and I've finally started my classes. I think I've done about 3 classes so far, and I'm doing it with this guy called Andrew, who I've known for the longest time ever. I mean, 10 years ago, I was at a concert. I was like, Andrew, you're going to teach me how to play the drums. He's like, come, I'll teach you. And it took me 10 years. But that is really fun. It's just, it's so intriguing to learn new things. And my therapist told me something that I want to leave you with, because it was quite profound to me. And it was before I added drumming lessons to the things I'm doing. She said, as adults, we can easily get stuck in a rut of thinking we know everything. Because at a certain age, you do have like extensive experience in 1, 2, or 3 particular fields. So there is a tendency to stop being teachable. And that's a huge part of being, you know, fluid with the world. It's just when things change, being open to learning new ways of doing things. And one way to remain teachable is to learn a skill from a field that you have zero experience in. Because now you're at the mercy of somebody else, an instructor, a teacher, to teach you something, and you have to humble yourself and be teachable. I think it's something that everybody should do. And I also feel like it's a nice way, learning something new, to carve out time in the day for yourself. So you're almost tricking yourself into me time. At least I experienced that with drums and with aerial hoops. I could be driving to my lesson thinking about, oh my God, this client, I haven't done this report, blah, 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 blah. But for the hour, the duration of the lesson, I do not think about any client. I do not think about any work, like nothing. I'm just so caught up in just soaking up all of this knowledge and enjoying the experience. So if you are able to, try it. Like, learn something in a field you have zero experience in. All right, song of the week. I'm so excited about this song because it's just so awesome. It is just, man. Oh boy, this song is amazing. Okay, so the song is called Point and Kill, and I cannot stop playing this song. So good, so good. And it's by Little Sims. She's featuring somebody called Obong Jayar. I hope I pronounced that well. Either way, this song is beautiful. Ugh. And then the music video is it. Like, the music video got like my poetic juices flowing, you know? It's just so good. It's so good. Please go check it out. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Since I heard it, I think, when did I hear it? Sometime this past week, because it's relatively new. And I've had it on repeat. I just keep belting out, Point and Kill. If I want it, it's mine. Ah, check out the song. It's so good. It's so good. Like, Little Sims. Ah. Wonderful music, just wonderful music. Okay, I'm going to stop gushing over her and just jump into 100 African Stories. This story was recorded in Kisumu, as I said, during our recently concluded tour. In fact, it was the second story recorded. I don't know why I memorize these things, I just do. And the story is by Rispa, about getting expelled from university. 100 African Stories on Legally Clueless, coming to you from the road. We partnered with Africa No Filter to take this podcast on tour to Nakuru, Kisumu, Mombasa, and Nairobi, bringing you powerful and inspiring African stories.
I'm Rispa Teyokele. I'm from Kisumu. When I first joined the university, it was quite fun. Mombasa being one of the, I'd say, best cities for me, it was so beautiful. And the thing that I'm used to, like, staying in Kisumu and the environment, it was really nice being there. I liked the culture of the people, yeah, the environment. Yeah, the freedom that I got. Staying away from home was also much fun because I have like strict parents. Technical University of Mombasa was also a very good school. I was taking information science degree. It was my first time in Mombasa. I really had a lot of expectations. Like, you know, before I actually traveled to Mombasa, I Googled how really Mombasa looked like. Yeah, so the excitement that I had was actually unexplainable. Okay, before I was staying in the hostel, so I moved out with my friend. The semester was just going fine, and then we were doing the exams. So on my last paper, I was actually found with Mwakenya. It's like a I wrote some answers on a paper and I went with it to the exam room. I kind of had this fear of IT, like I really feared the IT exams. So something just came up and told me, like, you can do this, like, just write the papers, you'll get through it. Because I think at first I kind of had this pressure. My friends used to get in with the forms and I was like, ah, I can also do it. Yeah, so I thought that I could get a way through with it. The night before, I wrote Mwa Kenya. That morning, just before the exam, I think like 10 minutes or 30 minutes. And to make things worse, the Mwa Kenya really didn't have anything. It's really hard. No answers, really. So I was like, anyway, I don't even have anything to write in the paper. So I was like, let me just write what I already written so that at least just to console myself. Actually, I was so nervous. I have never used a Mwa Kenya before. When I was, unveiling it, the lecturer actually came. He was a Muslim.
Yeah.
So he came and just picked it. Like, I don't know how it happened, but, you know, something that you haven't done before, like, I was new to that. Yeah, so I just got caught. He actually said nothing. I think he told me that you can come and pick your paper at the office after everyone has finished. I think he took my paper. Yeah, and he took the Mwa Kenya. So I was just seated like, what should I be doing? And others were giving me that pressure that just get out. He won't trust you. I was confused, and being that good girl, I still had that good girl thing in me. Like, I really didn't want to do something bad, or like, you know, people were telling me like, go and talk to him, or just pressure him, or just walk away, he won't stress you. So I was caught between a lot of things. Yeah, so I just sat there, waited for everyone to finish exams, and I waited for him outside. So I went to the exam room and tried begging. I was literally begging and crying. Like, they couldn't give me a chance to say anything. They were just like, get out. You are the guys who just come to school and think everything just flows. I was so frustrated. I kind of just brushed it off, and I had a best friend. He just told me to chill, and then we walked. I was actually staying in Shomoroni that time, so we walked and he was consoling me, and I was like, next time I will never use a walking. All that regret was actually hitting me hard. I acted so composed, and he tried to cool me down. That day just ended that way. I remember it was on December. Yeah, so like that was the last exam, and then the school was getting closed for the short holidays. I couldn't make it to Kisumu, so I just stayed in Mombasa. I remember my roommate went back home and she left me in their house alone. I kind of got a lot of pressure that time. I think that was even my first time to smoke weed. I was so frustrated. That was before the schools had been opened. Yeah, so when the schools opened, they sent me a message that I'm supposed to go for a panel to go and explain myself, what happened, if I'm guilty or not guilty. I went to school. I think there was a letter I was supposed to pick. I went to school. I met some lecturer. I told him my problem, and he directed me to some guy who was going to tell me, can I say white lies? Yeah, like the guy was telling me, don't just say that you unveiled your Mwa Kenya. You just say maybe you are taking out your handkerchief and it fell and he picked it and he made you feel like you are guilty or something. Hey, that pressure was too much. Like, you know, and then I'm someone who I don't know how to hide. Like, I'll just tell you the truth. So I was torn between, can I just say this, or can I just say the lies, or say the truth? Maybe I'd get lucky. When I went to the panel, it was, I think, February 11th. 10th was my birthday. I remember I went to the beach, took some photo shoots. Yeah, like, I was somehow excited, like, covering up everything. Just to cover up the pressure and the frustrations. It was actually something that I would never forget. Yeah, I went to the panel. There were a lot of people. It was like a hall. There were lecturers and HODs. There were people with different cases. And I felt like mine was actually minimal because I was caught on my first semester, first year. Yeah, so I felt like, they just let me like stay. Or, yeah, I had like this morale, like, I'll get through this. And then there's this girl who was also like me. She was caught with the more Kenya. And she was like pleading that her mom was sick. She couldn't study for exams, so she was frustrated. And there was this guy who came, he went for exams when he was drunk. There were so many people with different cases, and I felt like really mine was minimal. Like, they just let me. We were in a row. When it was your turn, you like go before them and you talk. First, you tell them your name. What course do you take? What crime did you do? So I went and told them, respectfully, blah, 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 and taking the course. And then I told them, I made sure I added first year, first semester. Just in case that would help me. I just got myself saying, I'm guilty. And then to make things worse, I was like, you know, I think I was actually pressured with exams because, you know, being a first year, the pressure, a lot of peer pressure, yeah, and around you. So I just got myself doing this because I saw a couple of my friends doing it, but now I really know it's a bad thing and I know I can't do this again. And then I said, to make things worse, I actually wrote the Mo Kenya and it really didn't help me. So, and they laughed, literally. All of them laughed. So I felt like, yeah, maybe everything will just be fine. So I went outside feeling relieved, like at least the first step. You know, all this time, My dad had the message, like he was sent the message, luckily enough, because personally I couldn't do it really. Yeah, so he asked me like, what was the problem? Why were you going to the panel? So I just had to tell him, but you know, lies, like I was telling him this teacher didn't like me. So he caught me the market. And I think that is what he believes Adi Waleo, yeah. He actually called me and asked me, how did it go? And I told him, we'll be communicated to. I think after one week or 2 weeks, yeah. And then they sent me a message to go and pick the letter at the gate. All this time I was really, you know, that anxiety, like what will happen? Will they expel me or will they like give me a second, or just give me a suspension maybe, because you know that is what I had. Everyone was like, they'll give you a suspension. Mm. Yeah, this is something that is easy. They'll just give you a suspension. I went to pick the letter. I just had to open it at the gate, you know. Yeah. Like I wanted to see, have they given me a chance or they have given me a suspension. Kufungua letter, expulsion. I really couldn't just break the news to my dad. So I kept it to myself. Someone told me that you could still appeal. Yeah, so I was like, bado kuna chance. Bado kuna chance, yeah. And you know, when you appeal, you take it to the VC. Another panel again. And now the panel is like VC and then those big people, yeah. Yeah. I took the letter and told myself, everything is just fine. Yeah, so I went back home to the house where I was staying with my friend. And I'm this person who vents actually a lot. So I went and told her, aki nimeexpeliwa. So I was like expecting, you know, like expecting too much from someone. Mm. Yeah, and I'd say that maybe I was just too much for her, you know. She was not my parent or, yeah. So, una vent sana, yani you keep on crying. Yani I cried. So, it's only my best friend or alikuwa naweza keep up with the pressure, really. Yeah, he was like, everything will be fine. everything will be fine, just chill. And you know, this time classes zilishaanza. Yeah, and I think hata before I got the letter for expulsion, I used to go to classes. Yeah, so I was like, there's nothing wrong. Yeah, everything is fine. Hata after expulsion, I used to go to classes. And then this time, the soldier guy, he took my ID ya shule. They told me, you can't access shule, just go back. So that is the time that it really hit me hard that, wow, I can't go to classes, I can't go to school, I can't see my classmates, I can't make friends anymore, I can't meet my friends. When I appealed, I was actually working at some grocery by that time. And when I appealed, they told me to wait for some time. And then I think after like 3 weeks, they sent me a letter to go to the panel sasa. Yeah, so that time I went crying.
Last time?
Yeah, I was crying. My friend and my best friend, all of them were there to support me, but so I was literally crying. And you know, everyone was like composed. Me peke yangu ndo nilikuwa nalia. I went to the panel, but I think just how the approach was, like, I went there crying. So maybe they felt like, really, she's so guilty. They asked me, why do you want us to give you a second chance? And I'd say that my explanations were so vague. Maybe how I carried out myself before them. I really didn't explain myself so well. Yeah, I feel like it wasn't so good. So they told me, actually the VC was talking to me and she asked me, why do you want us to give you a chance? Why did you do this? I think I told them that I wanted them to give me a second chance because I was coming from a humble background and I didn't want them to waribu future yangu. I was telling them that when I get expelled, actually, I really don't have anything in mind. I don't even know how I'll continue with that. I don't know where my life will actually head to. They asked me, like, how did it happen? Ulipatikana aje? And then I told them how it happened. Then after that, I just went outside crying. I think it really sounded weird because all the other guys were just composed. The results, they came after 3 weeks. They sent me a letter. They told me, come and pick your letter. It's at the reception. I came there excited, like, yeah, I thought at least, for the last time, I really tried. Maybe they could give me a chance. Actually, I didn't open the letter there. Nilisema tu, I'll go back to, I was working at a grocery your time. So I niliomba ruhusa huko. I went to pick the letter. I picked the letter and came back to the working place. So nikasema, niangalie nisiangalie, and I decided to just open it. I was expelled. So I cried. I was crying apo kwa nini. And that mama I was working for, she really pitied me. She had her sisters. They came and tried to cool me down. Actually, they didn't know anything. Iyo day tu ndo niliwambia, mimi, I was like, I had these issues with school. At first, when I came to their place to work huko, I was telling them that I was actually doing my course, but I deferred. So I was thinking of doing something else. Mm-hmm. Just to cover up, at least they won't suspect me and I want to steal from them. Mm-hmm. You know, like vitu kama hizo, people kind of tend to judge you. I'd say they were very nice. They were so supportive. I told them about the expulsion. They were telling me, even though maisha iko, they gave me other examples. You know, at least ile ya kukulisha mtu, like, cool, chill. That is how life is, you know. They told me other related stories to my story. Yeah, and this happened. Like, they were telling me about their sister who did degree, but ameshindwa kupata job. So I talked to my mom. I called my mom and told her, Mom, I'm sorry, I disappointed. I think I texted her because I really didn't have that courage of calling her and telling her. But I texted her a long, like, a paragraph. I told her, Mom, I'm sorry, I've disappointed you. You took me to university, but nime fail. I've been expelled. I don't think I can come back home because the whole, you know, I come from a village. The whole village will be laughing at me. Like, watu watashanga, huyu ni nini? And being like someone, like, who is coming from a God-fearing family, they'd like really judge me going back home. So I was like, mommy, I can't come back home. I'm sorry, but just know you. I love you. Yeah, but the mistakes I've done, I can't change them. I think my dad, before he was communicating and asking me, how is it going? I was postponing every day. I'm just saying, bado, they haven't sent the letters. So when they actually sent the last letter, I think it took me like some few days and I called him. Nikamwambia, yeye nilimpigia tu simu juu. I'm actually not close to my dad, but I just wanted to see how he'll really react because he's someone with anger issues. So I just told him, I told him nimeexpeliwa and then nikakata. Yeah, so I just sent my mom the message. Alafu, she also couldn't talk to me. You know, that time I had this adolescent kidogo. I used to compete with my sister. I knew that my mom liked my sister. So, kusikia hii ka news, maybe she'll... Like, I just had this judgmental thoughts. Like, maybe atachukulia, mimi nimefail. It's always me, yeah. So she actually didn't call me. Alijua tu sitaongea. So she sent, she's like a family friend. She called me and told me, these are things that happen. We're to Lia too, but you have to come back home. Usisembe utarudi, and don't do something stupid. By that time I would say that I was happy, of course, at least I had something that was keeping me busy. But hapo katikati before I actually went for your appealing, I was actually in the house full time, depressed. Ile tu sikuli, sifanyi anything. When my friend talks, I don't talk back. I'm just like there. I think that made her pia frustrated. Alikuwa tu like, usa ni beshte mgani huyu. So at times I even naacha bed naenda kulala chini. Yani tu, I was not normal. So mojo hii kazi, at least it was making me feel like engaged, yeah. But still, I wasn't stable. Like, I used to just shut off at times. Hata boss wangu sazinga akuja, ananiuliza, are you okay? I'm okay. But you know, I just have to do it. At least niji-engage, yeah. So, I kept on kufanya hiyo job. And then there's this time, I think my dad already knew that mimi sitarudi home. Yeah, so he called me, akaniambia, if you're not coming back home, I'm going to disown you. And then akaniambia, like, you are a big person. You can decide to stay there. You can take care of yourself. I think I told him I'm working. Akaniambia, kama unaona hiyo job itakulisha, weka huko. Yeah, so I was torn between him disowning me and me going back home and facing the the crowd behind me. Yes, so, and I called my sister. Nikamba mi na sirudi home. Sister Angu was like, just come back home. Apu kiishi, you just get frustrated. The environment has caused you so much trouble. You know, I was like, should I just go? This mama I was working for, she was like my best friend, Sasa. You know, someone at least I could get advices from. So I told her, my dad is telling me this and this. I'm thinking of going back home. Though it's not like I'm sad working for you. Yeah, because she felt like I was, you know, I even told her my dad could disown me, like, after getting all those news. She just told me that it's okay. You can be my daughter. Like, there's no problem. Mimi, because she had no... She had no child, so she told me I can be her daughter, there's no problem. She can accommodate me. She was even planning to move into some place with me. I was torn between, should I stay with her or go back home? And I asked her for the way forward and she told me, just go back home. They are your parents. At least maybe there will be other opportunities huko nje, you know. I can't just lock you inside here. And nikikudanganya ati, you know, of course you are a very nice person, but you just have to go back home. First, when I came back, you know, now I moved out of my friend's house. Actually, we quarreled. At some point, we quarreled and I had to just like go, like move out. So I was staying in some small room, single room. Yeah, so I came back to the house. Nikakatu kwanza chini. And, you know, I had this heavy thing in my heart. You know, like I felt so sad. I had to go back home, really. And it wasn't something so easy for me. I started packing my things and nikaroll my vitu, packed everything. And then I slept. And woke up the next day, nikaenda nikabook bus. Actually, the mama I was working for, she was the one who helped me with that. So, and then I went to her shop and then told her, mimi sasa naenda, but I will come back maybe someday, maybe. Yeah, like hizo tu promises zote, yeah. And actually, it wasn't a bright day. You know, I was even moving away from my friends. It wasn't easy. I think the next day when I was traveling, the next day I came back to Kisumu. I think my mom called me that night. Akaniambia, while you're passing by, you come and pick me. Jualienda kuomba, church. She went for fasting, yeah. So I picked her. Na tuk-tuk, and then we came back home. By that time, my grandma alikuwa amekufa, my mom's side. So I went to the funeral. I think 2 days. Nilienda funeral na mom. I would say that pressure bado ilikuwa na mimi. I used to shut down. Yani, I used to avoid people and I felt like maybe they were talking about me. I think my mom was like actually trying to keep off, like not trying to open up to people about my story. Jualijua tu, it was going to affect me. I was not ready to tell them what happened. I was not happy. Like the whole time, at your funeral, I cried. Adipatia expulsion. Yani tu kulialia tu. Yani it was too much for everyone. Kila mtu was like, my aunts were like, nini nimbaya na umtoto. It just went by 6 months nilikuwa tu home. I remember I used to stay inside the house. Sikuwa natoka. And then being that natoka from, my parents are very strict. Hakuna kutoka. So I was just ndani. And making again new friends. Wajua, like when moving from Kisumu to Mombasa, mabeshte wa Kisumu, they felt like, ah, huyu sasi alishaenda. So coming back, they'll feel like when you're coming back, sasa you're like reuniting juu, umerudi. And then I was not even ready to start venting to them what happened. Yeah, so I was just shattered ndani. Every time nilikuwa tu ndani. For 6 months. And then in that apo katikati, I used to sumbua. By the my dad was like very angry. He felt like I was not decided kitu ya kufanya. At first, I tried applying for civil engineering huko Nakuru. But unfortunately, they didn't have that course. So I came back. And again, he was suggesting niende ni apply for some course again in KCA. The same course that I was taking. And I was like, no, I might go again. Nifanye tena manini zangu. And then my mom, like, she just talked to me and told me, decide on one thing. Because I also had that drive in me. Before, I wanted to do some technical course. But, you know, like, after getting chosen for a course with the neck, I just told myself, yeah, I can do the civil thing. And I decided to join a college here. Yeah, so I joined the college. I'd say so far so good.
Yeah.
So far so good. Everything is so good. I finished my first year. Yeah, and being that in Kisumu, I've connected to a lot of people. Yeah, and when I went for my first year attachment, I met some friends. And I gained a lot of skills also. I met some friend who introduced me to some company, a survey company. Yeah, so currently that is where I work. I'm even healing from the past wounds. They have healed. I can tell my stories. You know, before I used to hide it, everyone, like kila mtu ananiuliza, I used to be in tomb, what happened? And I'm like, I changed the environment because I was far from home. Like I used to cover it up a lot. So for now, like I can just tell someone my story. Yeah, I can openly tell them what happened.
100 African Stories. The Legally Clueless 2021 tour powered by African No Filter. We're traveling through Kisumu, Nakuru, Mombasa, and Nairobi, bringing you real, raw, and inspiring African stories.
That was such an interesting story. I really enjoy just going through the paces of Rispa's story. The double appeal and having to defend yourself in front of this panel. I don't know. I don't even think while I was in uni, because I was in a uni in Kenya called USIU, I don't remember hearing of anybody getting expelled or any things like that. Of course, I'm pretty sure it happened, maybe not around my circles. But yeah, because of that, I didn't know the general processes, the appealing, the kind of like going in front of a panel. That's intense. And even just thinking about what do you tell your parents? Oh my goodness. That must have been a lot. And you know, I was remembering when I was in university, you know how in your first semester you do like a lot of general courses that are super easy? One of the courses was called The Family in the US. I don't know. Okay, well, it was the university's, the United States International University, but the content of that course didn't spotlight like any American values. So I don't know why was it called that? Now that I think about it. Anyway, so it was a very straightforward, easy course to pass. A lot of notes, yes, but if you just read, it's not rocket science. So there was this guy during one of the exams, I don't know, he hadn't read or something, and he was trying to copy from mine and my friend's exam paper. And he was like, he's cool peeps, so we would, where we can, you know, lean back a bit for him to see things, blah, blah, blah. But now, when the papers came back to us, like after the lecturer has like marked them, blah, 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 this guy, Aki, you know, if it's your day to be caught, it's your day to be caught. He would copy the answer to question 2, for example, in question 3's answer spot. And so it was so clear to the lecturer that A, this guy is copying, B, like he's not even giving this copying an effort. Oh my god. Aru, his name is Aru, and that Aru, right? Yeah. It was quite interesting. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that story. Obviously, we're going to be sharing more of the stories that we recorded on tour. Make sure you check out the video series to actually see the visuals of this tour journey and see the visuals of the storytellers you're hearing on this podcast, you know? It just adds a dimension to the story sometimes. So hey, head over to our YouTube channel and check that out. Also remember that this podcast is on Trace Radio in Kenya. So if you want to listen, head over to traceradio.co.ke. You'll be able to see a list of frequencies if you want to tune in the old-fashioned way. Old-fashioned way. And obviously, of course, remember that the podcast plays there every Monday, Wednesday at 12 noon and 11 p.m. and every Friday at 12 noon. Finally, oh my God, you guys, I was busted. Busted so badly. So you remember how I always would bitch about a particular neighbor and her very noisy kids and like how their water pump was consistently on, blah blah blah. So I'm normally not really good with my Instagram DMs, but I do try. And so I go to the side where it's like requests, so people I do not know, have never had a conversation with. And the topmost message is from somebody who says, "Hey, I'm your neighbor. I moved out, but we lived opposite each other, basically. I used to listen to your podcast. So everything I was saying, she was hearing." And she's like, "I used to listen to your podcast. I just didn't want to make it awkward by coming up to tell you that because, you know, when I'd see you, it was not like you just carry a mic." Well, she didn't say that, but you know what I mean. Well, what she meant. And then she goes like, "I'm really sorry about the noise we made and our water pump." And I felt so bad. I've not even responded to it because I'm just like, oh, was I being an asshole? I really didn't. I can't remember even the day I was celebrating that. Oh, okay, they're moving. But like, I wasn't celebrating like that. They were such a beautiful couple and the kids are so adorable. But I was just like, the noise, you know, because I record at home. Look at me like trying to salvage the situation because I know it just occurred to me that she just might listen to this as well, you know. Okay, I'm gonna end this here. It is what it is. The episode is over. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast and to this episode to the very end. That's it for this episode of Legally Clueless. You can share this podcast with your friends. You can keep it for yourself. I'm not judging. Just make sure you're here next week for the next episode.